my pleasure to welcome back into our studios Dr. William Clark, conductor of the Mesilla Valley Concert Band, also longtime professor and former chair of the music department here at New Mexico State University. Welcome, Bill Clark.
Thank you very much.
We're going to talk for a few minutes about Charles Tomlinson Griffiths, an American composer. He died young. You can hear the influence of Impressionism, although it was happening simultaneously in France. He was early, actually. And beautiful music.
I think he was only 35 when he died. And he wrote an opera, The White Peacock, I believe. And he was really, he was into the impressionistic part of music. And he was going to go beyond that. And that's what is so disturbing for me every time I think about his death at age 35, where he would have gone with Impressionism, because you know Impressionism is a very short period, and then the offshoots from it have been significant. But he was one that nobody knows much about until they hear his music. He had a great feel for the shape of a melody. Had a great feel for the contour of a melody, as you can tell with this poem. Melinda Wilson will be playing it with us, and she's a wonderful player. And, of course, we're doing an orchestration by James Thornton for winds, and it's extremely difficult to do because it's in the key of B major. And many of the winds are in the key of B flat or E flat or F, which are totally foreign to the key of B major. And so they have to treat every note in order to put them, make it in tune and all that. But when we get it done, you're going to like it. It's going to be good.
I'm speaking with Bill Clark, and he's talking about a concert coming up on a week from Sunday, March 25th at 3 o'clock at the Atkinson Recital Hall. It's the Mesilla Valley Concert Band. There's also a band concert tonight.
That's right. Symphonic Band is tonight. Symphonic Winds was last night, and Symphonic Band is tonight. And this is the perfect storm for no crowd. So if you really can come out and support these youngsters, it would be wonderful. I'm conducting. We're doing a Charles Ives piece, The Variations on America. We're doing an Offered March, and we're doing some other of the contemporary composers of the 20th century that were important in schools, in the Young Composers Project and all that, Martin Mailman and some of those people. And the concert will be about a 45-minute concert.
That's tonight at 7:30?
7:30.
At the Atkinson Recital Hall. And then again, a week from Sunday, Mesilla Valley Concert Band at the Atkinson at 3 o'clock. Bill, you, as you just said, you're conducting tonight and you're conducting next week, and you continue to be a great inspiration for many students and colleagues and listeners and audience members. Tell us, who are your inspirations? Who are the people who made you a musician and also just inspired you to keep going?
You know, and this is going to sound really corny, but my inspiration was really my mom and dad. And that was, I say that unabashedly, because music was a weekly part of our life. My parents were not professional musicians. My mom was a teacher. My dad was an engineer. But we did music every week. And that, I realized what a gift it was and what it did for the soul and the spirit, if you will, and in that part of our being. And I never thought of doing anything else once I went that direction. And
when you say we did music, you played it as a family?
Yes, as a family. My aunt was a wonderful pianist. She was a concert pianist, recital pianist, as well as a wonderful educator. And she was always there. And my grandparents, the extended family, was there, like the old-timey in rural Arkansas lives. But it was a very satisfying, a very inspiring, and very direction-filled life with the music there, because we fed cattle and we had a ranch and did all that, and then we got our minds in gear to do music.
And when you say once a week, was there a regular time?
There was regular time every Sunday afternoon. Every Sunday afternoon.
Wonderful. This is a wonderful model, because in our highly wired age,
oh yeah,
it's so hard to get people together to play music, but what a joy it is when you do.
It's even hard to get people to get together to eat. But
how true that is. Wow. So let me ask you another question. Because you were a player for a long time, as well as a conductor, and I don't think you play as much as you used to.
No,
but
I don't play as much as I want to. Go ahead with.
Yeah, but when you're about to play or conduct, do you still get nervous?
Oh, yes. But I get nervous for a different reason now. I get so anticipatory because of what the great things that could happen instead of what bad can I do.
Oh, good.
I'm no longer worried about making mistakes. I'm worried about doing something as well as I can do it.
Yeah. And what do you tell your students when they get when they you know they've practiced and they're doing great and then they get in front of that audience and they get so nervous?
Yeah, and you are exactly right. That's still and I think will be a perennial problem. But the only answer I have for it is you've got to get on that horse again. No matter what happens, you've got to get on again. And believe me, and they do, if the ones that will do this, the next time it's easier, the next time it's easier, the next time it's better, the next time it's better, you learn to prepare better. But the after, what you do after a performance, your assessment of that in a very cold, hard way is very important to the next one. You can't just say, that's the best I could do and move on with it. How can I do this better? Then we'll move on with it once I learn to do that.
Yeah. So you've lived long enough that your early performances were not all being recorded on every other device in the audience that's possible to record now. So that required a kind of concentration of knowing what you did in that performance, not relying on a recording to hear
your mistakes. You're exactly right. The good part about that is I can tell people just how well I played 50 years ago. And there's no proof that I didn't. But what I would do is always, we had the buddy system, me and some other people that were in music as we were coming up. And we would simply jury each other on performances, and we would talk about those things and consider. We really did that in a very religious way when it was over. We didn't just say, it's over, and we can't get it back. We already knew that.
Mm-hmm.
What we want to know is, how do we make it over, and we don't want it back after we do the next one?
Yeah, yeah. Very interesting. So you had regular partners, in a sense. Mm-hmm. You would be listening mm-hmm. to critique it at the end.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
And a very, very funny, if we have time, quick story. I was in a barbershop quartet when I was at Delta State University, and it was a recruiting thing. We were going to a place to recruit. We stopped at my mom and dad's house to have supper. And she fed us supper, and Dad said, why don't you sing us a song? And so we sang what I thought was our very best effort and did it pretty well, I thought. And when we stopped, my dad said, son, are you getting paid for this? And I said, no, sir, but we're going to get fed, and they're going to feed us a good meal, and we'll recruit kids. He said, you might better eat before you sing. And so I had some critics at home that were also very straightforward.
That's a wonderful story. I'm speaking with Bill Clark. He's going to be conducting tonight the NMSU Symphonic Band and a week from Sunday, the Mesilla Valley Concert Band, which you founded.
Mm-hmm. 1986.
A group of professionals and community members and students too, or not?
No, not really. The only time we have a student in there is if it's a very special case where there may be an engineering major and they're in so many labs and things they cannot get in one of the college groups. But we'd like to serve the university groups with that age, and this is for adults.
or at least adults not in school.
Exactly.
Okay. Before we go, Bill, let's talk a little bit about an American composer who will be on the program, David Maslanka. I don't know much about him. We have one long piece by him, a child's Garden of Dreams, actually based on writings of the psychologist Carl Jung.
That's right.
But tell us a little bit about this man.
He's everybody wishes they knew him once they learn about him. I think he still lives out in the woods in Montana, and he wears flip-flops, and he's that kind of a guy. And he will write whatever he wants to write and when he wants to write it. And then those sounds that come out make such good sense. He is one of the most exciting composers of the 21st century. The piece we're playing is Give Us This Day, which he got from, of course, that's from the Lord's Prayer, but he got it from the Buddhist belief. And every major religion has that sort of thing. And he taught, and it's basically about our handling and our stewardship of the earth. Give us this day. Beautiful piece.
For a band.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just looking at his birth date, so he's in his 60s.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, still wearing the flip-flops out in the woods.
Oh, he really is. I imagine in the snow, because he's that kind of a guy.
And mostly a band composer?
Mostly band, but he can do anything with sound that he wants. He likes to deal with band because of the different colors.
Specific to the next concert, you've got a new flutist in town who's going to be performing the Griffiths piece that we heard, and also John Schutz will be conducting a piece by Holst.
That's right. John's going to do the Holst First Suite E-flat, and it's just going beautifully. We try to cycle that piece about every 10 years because it's such a major, major foundation for the band literature that followed.
Gustav Holst, most frequently associated with his huge orchestral work, The Planets, but he had a big career as a military band composer.
Good trombone player.
And that too. Thanks so much to Dr. William Clark for coming in today. Two concerts tonight and next Sunday, March 25th. Thanks again, Bill.
You are welcome.